March on for Voting Rights and an event happening on Saturday, August 28th. We're speaking to Pastor Richie Butler. He's the senior pastor at St. Luke Community United Methodist Church in Dallas. What's happening Saturday afternoon?
There is a national effort to mobilize our nation around voting rights, and it is actually and to commemorate 58 years later after Dr. Martin Luther King on August 28th, where he and over 250,000 Americans came together on the Lincoln Memorial to, call for voter rights, all the civil rights legislation that we ultimately saw passed. And much of that is under attack today. And so this march is to stimulate us to stand against the efforts to suppress voting rights in the United States. Here in Texas, both Dallas and Houston, there will be more organized efforts to bring people together to stand up and say, we're not going to tolerate voter suppression efforts, but rather, if anything, we are fighting to ensure that every citizen has the right to vote, expand and make it easier and less restrictive when it comes to voting. And that is democracy, which should be democracy at work, not restrictions.
This comes at a time when the Texas legislature, under Republican control, is pushing very hard and about to pass. But it comes at the same time that in Washington, the U.S. House has passed the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. It now goes to the Senate for a potential vote by the end of September, I'm hearing, with filibuster being talked about.
Yeah.
I guess part of my question to you is, how did we come to fit all these years later when Dr. King was on the mall? Here we are fighting the same fight.
I don't think it's by happenstance or chance that the census data came out and America is I know we talk about being a melting pot, but we truly are.
Yeah.
The census demographics reflect that America is a melting pot. And at some point, there's not going to be a single majority that really is in complete control. And I will submit, people won't acknowledge it, but that is part of what's going on to ensure that there, I guess a certain segment of white America, maintains a level of control. And I think that's born out of fear because of the unknown. I mean, I think when we think about where we are as a nation, unlike 1860 when we were, fighting a civil war, and unlike 1960s when we were, fighting for civil rights, I think this moment is unlike anything else, because at the end of all of that, I think white America as a whole still knew that they were the super majority. Mm-hmm. And now, and probably by 2030 next census, that 57% may not even, because it's accelerated faster than anyone had anticipated. And I think underneath all of this is that is brewing. And rather than responding to it from a place of opportunity, I think the response is from a place of fear and seeing that recasting of what America looks like, as a problem. And how do we solve problems? And we definitely want to restrict and minimize people because we don't know what that means for us. And I think that's the wrong side or wrong way to look at all of this.
The event in Dallas is at Clyde Warren Park, Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 is what it's listed as being. What do you want people to do, to say, to know going into the event? And what energy do you hope it brings to the debate?
I hope it does serves several purposes. One, to reinforce the role of voting in a democracy, and that as we have fought for so many years to ensure that all citizens have a seat at the table, and that means their vote, that basic right is reinforced, and that people from the kitchen worker to the CEO recognizes that that means me. So every citizen, which means that every citizen should be compelled to be part of something like this. And it also should send a message that if these suppressive efforts are at work, then you're not immune to being impacted by such efforts to restrict voting. I know sometimes, and most Americans, sort of just mind their business. They go to work, they take care of their families, and they don't think about the implications of some of this on their own lives, ultimately, until it's too late. And I think by on Saturday, we should all recognize that if it can be done to one group of people or one individual as a citizen, that it can be done to us all. And we just don't want to allow that to be ultimately become a reality for us as American citizens.
There are two events happening in Washington, D.C., at least. There's the Good Trouble Rally, Black Votes Matter. The co-founders are heading that up. And then you are taking part, and we've been talking about the March on for Voting Rights on the anniversary of Dr. King's speech at the Lincoln Memorial. The Senate's about to pass, or at least to vote, depending on the filibuster. What does it do if it passes? I'm thinking of the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, and then there's also the For the People Act, which is being talked about. If those two pass, how does that play up against what Texas is set to do, what Georgia has done, what other states are considering?
I definitely think there's, because you've already indicated, I mean, here in Texas, there is slim to no chance that you can block or stop, that voting, that legislation, passing. Mm-hmm. And so, from a federal level, to have, reinforcement from that vantage point. And think about it. I mean, when we were in the 1960s, it was from a federal level that forced states to treat, its citizens, fairly and to unravel, bad legislation and bad laws that disenfranchised voters and citizens. And so I think, we're just sort of repeating, some historical facts and realities. And what I realize and what I've been taught is that lessons are taught until they're learned. So I think, unfortunately, as a nation, we just keep repeating some things because we and my mom always said also that, a hard head makes for a soft behind. And so we just, hopefully we will begin to realize that we are not each other's enemy.
How do you respond to the supporters of the Texas legislation who say this is about the sanctity of the vote, protecting the vote?
I think it's disingenuous. I understand it's politics. And so, people, but it's not authentic. And show me the stats that demonstrate or speak to the fact that we have, voting irregularities, voter fraud that calls for such kind of legislation. I mean, less than 1% of, and I actually preached about this on Easter Sunday. So I know that, I mean, it is minimal if, you know, and from a statistical standpoint, is, you know, is basically non-existent when it comes to actual voting fraud, voter fraud, that would suggest this kind of legislative effort. But again, I think it just reinforces again what we don't want to unpack, and that is this notion of a country that is changing, and there are people who are fighting like hell to try to, you know, hold on to whatever they can, and this is part of an effort to do that. And my position is, the train has left the station, and I think we got to figure out, you know, and I'll say it, put it this way, you know, I had a work. I used to partner with Henry Cisneros, former HUD secretary, mayor of San Antonio, right. And he was giving a speech, and this was 2003, so well in advance of everyone being aware of demographic change. He was talking about the demographic shift, and he had a graphic that showed this, and an older white lady at the end of the presentation goes to the mic for Q&A and points to the screen and says, "What are we going to do about this?" And that was a response out of fear and seeing it as a problem. And my response is, fast forward to 2021, and we have census data that reflects and clearly shows that is not a trend that's going to happen. It is upon us. And so I pointed that data to America and said, what are we going to do about this? Not from a problem standpoint, but as an opportunity. And somehow we have to help most Americans see it as an opportunity, because that's the only way we're going to survive and move forward. If not, we just might as well, you know, beat each other upside the head, and eventually, you know, we'll implode.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.